my sisters and brothers, in the name of love itself, our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, good morning and welcome to our service of worship on this somewhat overcast but delightfully cool Lord's Day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are, by golly, going to rejoice in it. I'm sure of that. Whether you are worshiping with us here in the sanctuary, whether you are joining us on Zoom, whether you are watching us several days from now on our YouTube channel, we are very glad that you are here with us today. If you have not already signed the friendship pads that are along the edges of the pew, we would be glad if you did that. It's always good to know who's here, especially if you are a visitor. We would be very appreciative if you would please mark that for us. We do have a number of announcements that I would like to just touch on briefly today. Jennifer, where are you? Jennifer, front and center. There you go. Thank you, ma'am. Jennifer is going to tell us about what's going to happen after the worship service and why it matters so much.
So today after worship, we're going to be in the fellowship hall near that large TV, and we're going to talk about Breeze. You've heard about Breeze. We talk about Breeze a lot in the office. Breeze is our church management system, but what's really very cool about it is you have the ability to log into Breeze to find people's addresses, phone numbers, and emails. Those are all password protected, and we will show you how to log in, have an account, be able to see other people's information, make your information private if you'd like, and more especially today, Deb is here to take your picture if you'd like your picture to be in Breeze as well. The thing about church directories, as soon as we print one, somebody's address changes or their email changes or their phone number changes. With Breeze, you have the ability to update that all the time, so you always have updated information. So we are going to record this session and also put together some slides that you can, if you get home and say, oh, I can't remember how we were supposed to do that, it'll be there for you to do as a tutorial, but also you can always call the church office and we'll help. But today you can meet in the fellowship hall and we'll help you download the program onto your phone if you'd like, or whatever you would want to do. So any questions you have, you can bring them there and look forward to seeing you.
Pictures.
Deb's here to take the pictures, and she has a sign-up sheet, I believe, so that you can kind of know when you need to primp before you get up there to take your picture. But she's going to be doing that in the choir room.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you very much. I do not want to tell you how many times a week somebody calls the church office looking for an address or a phone number. And, you know, the church office isn't there 24 hours a day. It's really handy to be able to use that Breeze and to get somebody's email if you just want to send an email to them. If you've never had Deb take your picture, I can promise you, you will look good. At least she did it for me. If you don't look good, you need to talk to her about that, okay? But she made me look good. I strongly recommend it. So that is today. Cribbage coming up. Back to school distribution at the Boys and Girls Club. I took part in that last week. It was a hoot. I had the time of my life. I hope you will be a part of that if you can. The blessing of the backpacks, and this is blessing all who are in education, students, teachers, etc. I am going to bring my satchel in that my in-laws gave me when I was in seminary. I have been carrying around now for lo these many years. That thing needs blessing as much as anything else. So I will bring that in. Please notice a new book study. A new book study starting. There are lots of ways to grow in faith. I really recommend these book studies that Jennifer leads on Tuesday evenings on Zoom, on Wednesday mornings in person here at the church. So please, 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 please. If you have the time, the inclination, please be a part of that. Very briefly, there will be no hand prep bell practice this coming Sunday, but we are looking forward on the 21st to the handbells leading us in worship, right? I appreciate the vigorous nodding over there. Yes, yes, thank you, yes. The handbells will be leading us in our... No, you're not. You're going to be leading the Growing Connection, the Sunday school class. That's what you're leading, yes. Do you know what the parts of a handbell are called? Exactly. Do you know how big of a range there is of handbells, how to use them? They're really much more interesting than you might think. I know this is a church full of tinkerers, right? People who enjoy working with wood, people enjoy working on engines. If you enjoy working with your hands, I think you will enjoy this opportunity on the 21st in the Growing Connections during the adult faith formation time. Please note that the very important surveys that we have been talking about nonstop for the last 2 weeks are due today. There's a box out there on the table. It says surveys. Jolene has blank surveys. If you have not done yours yet, she will be standing out in the narthex after the worship service. In 2 weeks, we will have a presentation during worship on what those surveys say. We will have more about that in the time coming up. But please, those surveys are due today. I want to take just a personal moment to thank everyone who had anything to do with the celebration of the 25th anniversary of my ordination that we held last Sunday. If you were there, if you ate the cake, which was really good, if you signed the certificate is right there. Jennifer, thank you, is modeling the certificate for us. Thank you, Jennifer. That is going to be on the table in the narthex. The border around it is meant to be signed. It would be a gift to me if you would please sign that border around the certificate. I would very much appreciate that. It will hang in a place of honor in my study at home in Indiana. And I want to thank all of you for the wonderful socks that you gave me. If you miss, yes, I would just like to briefly model. Yes, yes. And most people would charge money for this. So this is the great seal of the Presbyterian Church that is on these socks. You also gave me a pair that looked like stained glass windows and one with John Calvin's face on them. And I am saving that pair for a very special occasion. That will be coming up. I'm almost done. I do want to say just a few more things here. Please, if you follow the information about COVID-19, you will know that our county, the threat level has gone back up. We were in the lowest level for a long time. Now we are at medium risk. I wear my mask when I go to the grocery store. I wear my mask when I go to the post office. I wear my mask all those times. I haven't had a sinus infection in 2 years, and I've been mercifully free from colds. But the present protocols at our church are if we go into the red, if the county goes into the red, then we will be back wearing masks in worship. We will be sitting 6 feet apart. Those red ribbons will be back on the pews. Fortunately, now we do have the live stream option. So you can watch the service on the live stream on Zoom if you prefer to do that. Just please be aware of that. Please be aware of your health. Almost done. A few more things about the service. If we could pull up that opening prayer, please. Just want to draw your attention to something about this opening prayer. I hope you'll read the information about the poet. Great God, incomprehensible, unknown. That's the way most of us would read it. We would put a pause, we would put a comma at the end of the first line. But that's actually not the way it's written. Great God, incomprehensible, unknown by sense, which is different. This is one of those things poets do. They play with grammar just a little bit. That God is unknown, But no, that's not right. God is unknown by sense, by our senses. But God is also known in our hearts and in our experience. We'd just like you to be aware of that. If we could bring up the closing hymn, the first verse of the closing hymn, please. My wife and I went round and round on this the other night. We were both minor grammar nerds, and you don't have to be a grammar nerd to appreciate this. But I just want to draw your attention to something here. For all the saints who from their labors rest, okay, these are the dead, right, that great cloud of witnesses, who thee by faith before the world confessed thy name, O Jesus. That is, they stood up and proclaimed to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. May those saints be forever blessed. Now, you can read this two ways. You can read this as blessing the name of Jesus, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed, which is the way the music would lead us to think about it. But I think it's equally valid to say that we are blessing the name of the saints. Those saints, those giants of the faith on whose shoulders we sit and look into the future that God would have us live. It can go either way, and it doesn't really matter which way you think about it. But I wanted to bring that up because I know that there are some who will appreciate it, but also to remind us that there is more going on then we realize in a lot of these prayers and a lot of these hymns and a lot of the sacred texts that we use. The great thing about our faith, it's like a river. It's deep enough to drown an elephant, but it is shallow enough that the newborn lamb can walk across it without fear or trembling. This is the God we serve. Let's prepare with all the saints to worship our God.
Good morning. If you're able, will you please stand? I hear a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them as their God. They will be God's people, and God will be with them. This day, this hour, God has come to us. Together we worship our always present God." Let us pray. Great God, incomprehensible, unknown by sense, we bow at thine exalted throne. Oh, while we beg thine excellence to feel, thy sacred spirit to our hearts reveal, and give us that mercy to partake. which thou hast promised for the Savior's sake. Gathered before the throne of God's infinite mercy, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, confessing our need for grace. O Lord, our God, you call us to proclaim the gospel, but we remain silent in the presence of evil. You call us to be reconciled to you and to one another. We are content to live in separation. You call us to seek the good of all, but we fail to resist the powers of oppression, endangering the lives of people of all. Forgive us, O Lord. Reconcile us to you by the power of your Spirit, and give us the courage and the strength to be reconciled to others. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Please take a few moments for your own personal confession.
Jesus endured the cross and disregarded its shame for the sake of the joy that was set before him. That joy is our salvation. His joy is our freedom. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen. Now, being at peace with God, let us be at peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you. Will you please take a moment to share God's peace with those around you? We encourage you to send a text or a message to someone you care about who cannot be here now.
Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Our first scripture reading today comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11:29 through 12:2. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in the caves and the holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, without us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us all also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God.
Thank you, Jolene. You remember last Sunday, we read a different passage from Hebrews. It was the beginning of this chapter. Today we get to the rest of the chapter. And we talked about the difference between faith or belief and trust. Faith, belief, is a head thing, right? We have faith in parachutes. We believe parachutes work. But when the pilot comes out and says, this plane is going down and your only hope is to grab a parachute and jump, that's a whole body affair. That is, we trust the parachute. And I made the point that in this Hebrews text, I think we would do better to read trust rather than faith. It's the same word in Greek. It's pistis. It can mean belief, faith, trust. In this instance, I think the English translation, we would do better off with trust. That all these people trusted God. They went out and acted. And sometimes it did not go well for them in this life, but they trusted God. They went out and did what they were called to do. I went to Princeton Seminary. It's not a secret. It's on my resume. You've seen it. I went to Princeton Theological Seminary, which is not the same as Princeton University. They are across the street from each other. Okay, actually, my graduation service was held in the Princeton Seminary, in the Princeton University chapel, because it was our own chapel at the seminary. It was too small to hold everybody. But anyway, at my seminary, as you went up into the dining hall, okay, on the left, there were these big, it was a wide sort of portico with steps going up. And on the left, there was a very small plaque. And that plaque read, "Of whom the world was not worthy." And Jolene just read that for us, right? That passage from Hebrews. All these people did these things. Some of them suffered. Some of them were killed. Of whom the world was not worthy. That's what the plaque said. And then immediately below it were names of the seminary graduates who had been killed in the late 1800s, early 1900s, had been killed in India, had been killed by pirates in the South China Sea, or been killed during the Boxer Rebellion in China. And every time I went up those steps and caught sight of that plaque, it gave me a moment to pause. All the saints who are watching us. Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, from chapter 12. And it's important here to have a little bit of the geography of Israel in mind. Let's remember that Israel sits on the eastern side of the Mediterranean basin. And so the rains that come in that water Israel are rains that come out of the west. South of Israel are the southern deserts, North Egypt, parts of Saudi Arabia. And so when the wind comes out of the south, it is a burning, hot, scorching wind. This is what we read. Jesus says, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Jesus also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it is going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" This is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. I would like to invite the youngest of our disciples, if you would like to come forward for a moment and join us. Miss Jennifer has a few words for us.
Let's think about what we just heard. That was kind of some scary stuff. Those people had some scary things that they had happen to them, didn't they? And wow, they had some pretty tough times. Not having enough food, people wanting to hurt them, maybe not having a place to stay or a place to sleep. That's pretty scary stuff. Sometimes we have scary things that happen to us. Sometimes we get worried and afraid too. Grown-ups and kids. Grown-ups get afraid and worried too. Well, school's about to start, and so sometimes that can be a time that we really get afraid or scared or worried or anxious. We are maybe afraid of, it's a new school. Whether I'll get my locker open when you get a little older, that's a real problem. Who am I going to sit with for lunch? Who's my teacher? And am I going to have any friends in my class? And what if my friends and I get into an argument? Or what if I get bullied? What if I see somebody else getting bullied? All of those things can worry us. And sometimes even before we start school, we need to go to the doctor and get shots. Anybody ever have to have shots at the doctor? That can kind of sometimes be scary, right? Well, we know from what we read today that we don't need to be worried and afraid. We can have confidence that we will not be alone. We know that God will be with us, and God has put so many people there to cheer us on, to make sure that we know that we have support to help us out. And if we fail, they'll be there to comfort us too. God is with us always. And we have many people that God has put in our lives to help us learn more about God and to grow in God's love. Can you think of some of those people? Who are some people that teach you about love and about God's love? Mom and dad, right? Grandmas and grandpas, Sunday school teachers, your teachers at school teach you about love and sharing and caring, right? Our brothers and sisters, right? Aunts and uncles. We have so many people that are there to help us. So when we have those times when we're afraid or scared, we know that we are not alone, that there are so many people that love us and care for us, and God is with us, loving and caring for us each and every day. Let's take a little time and let's thank God for that. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for the love that you give to us each and every day. We thank you for the people that you put into our lives that help us learn more about you and more about your love. And we ask that you would help us to share that love with others, to encourage them as they encourage us. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. Thank you.
or in church, or in trades, or in shops, or at tea, or the saints of God, or just folks like me, and I mean to be one too.
Please, saints of God, you may be seated. I really like that song. I hadn't heard it until just a few years ago, though I see it's copyrighted 1929, so it's certainly been around a while. The same as that first hymn that we sang, right? It had a sort of a pop, it was a pop song in what, early 70s, I think, a gentleman named Yusuf Islam. You would know him better by his stage name, Cat Stevens. Sang that song. It was certainly very popular when I was in junior high, middle school, that area. Well, this morning, let's transport ourselves mentally out of Fond du Lac for just a moment and pretend that we are in a very small town. I would remind you that Fond du Lac is four times the size of my hometown. I think this is a big city. So we are in a very small town. Now, how small is this town? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. This town is so small, there are only two churches. Can you imagine a town so small with just two churches? One of these churches is filled with passionate people. And this passionate church argues all the time. And they argue what they are passionate about, their life and ministry together. And so they argue constantly about things like what to teach in Sunday school and what time should worship be, and what kind of music should we have? Where should we go on a mission trip? How many special offerings should we take up in the course of a year? They bicker and quarrel about this all the time, their life in ministry together. The other church in town never quarrels at all. Never a harsh, bickering word among them. And they do that because they never talk about their life in ministry. They are just as passionate, but they never talk about it. What do they talk about? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. They talk about how the Brewers are doing, what's coming out of Green Bay. How was the golf game? When is the next hunting season? Where's the next car show going to be? Did you go to the concert downtown on Thursday night? And when it's really bad, when they can think of nothing to talk about, they talk about the weather. But they never argue. But they never talk about what really matters. It is normal for passionate people to be passionate about what they are passionate about. It is normal, normal as the day is long, that passionate people will get excited and be ready to argue about their passion. One of my observations, my experience, really, is that our churches are getting more passionate. And that is because the people who had a peripheral, tangential relationship to the church, all those people who never really had a very strong commitment to their church, they are all dropping away. And the people who are remaining are the people who, by golly, want to be there. And they have a strong commitment to their church, and they have a strong commitment to their church's life in ministry. And I'll tell you, as a pastor, I'm okay with that. Because I'll tell you, I would much rather pastor a small church where people are passionate about the gospel, they are passionate about their life and ministry, than a large church where half the people really, they just really don't care. I would much rather pastor a smaller church of passionate people than a larger church where most of the people are just kind of indifferent. It is normal that churches sometimes face difficulties and have issues. And they get passionate about what they are passionate about, their life and ministry together. And some churches will respond to this by looking outward, away from each other. And they will never argue, but they will never talk about what's really important. Other churches will turn in on each other and will lock horns, and arguing will get in their blood, and they will descend into that pit of chaos. But there is a third option for churches. And that is the church where the people are committed to their life and ministry. And they are committed to being a team. They're committed that the church will function as a team and run the race that is set before them, that language from Hebrews, that they will do the ministry that is there ahead of them, that they will do the ministry that they are capable of in their community. They will function together. They will be committed to each other as a team, to their common Some of you will remember this movie, 1981, right? Chariots of Fire. We won't do the theme song right now. Although, if you would like to do your best slow motion run after service, that would be fine with me. It's based on a true story. It is the story of the British Olympic team at the 1924 Olympics. British Olympic team at the 1924 Olympics. And there are two sort of lead characters, sort of dual protagonists, if you will. One is a Jewish runner who runs to escape prejudice. The other is a Christian. He's actually the son of Christian missionaries in China. He is a Christian and he runs to glorify God. Like I say, these two, the Jew and the Christian, sort of drive the action of the film, if you will. But really, it's an ensemble movie. It is a movie about the team itself. It's a movie about the entire team. And one of the things we find in the course of the movie is that the team argued among themselves. They argued and they bickered and they quarreled. But they had a common goal of success. They had a common commitment to each helping the others be the best they could be. A common commitment to each helping the others be the best they could be. And a common commitment to helping the team be the best that it could be. To helping the team be the best that it could be. and they quarreled, and they fought, and there were some harsh words exchanged in the locker room. But they had a common commitment, common purpose, to help everyone else be the best that they could be. And a common definition of success, to help the team as a whole be the best that it could be. It is normal for passionate people to get passionate about their passion. And when that happens in churches, sometimes the church turns in on itself and it gets arguing in its blood, the way sharks sniff out blood in the water. And they descend into that chaos of constant quarreling. And sometimes they turn outwards. They never talk about the most difficult thing, so they never fight, but it's a false peace because they never talk about what's really concerning them. But others are different. Others commit themselves to their church being a team, with each one committed to the others being their best, and also to the church being its best. They know that they are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And so they run through this cloud of witnesses, this invisible cheering crowd of witnesses cheering them on, running in the footsteps of Jesus to be the best church they can be and to run their race as well as they can. And so they run through this great cloud of witnesses. Abraham and Sarah, Joshua, Rahab, Barak and Deborah. You looked at me wrong and I got messed up. Gosh, doggone. Abraham and Sarah, Joshua and Rahab, Barak and Deborah, Elizabeth, Mary Magdalene, the apostles, all the saints through all of time, cheering them on to lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely and run with perseverance the race that is set before us, the ministry opportunities that are set before us, looking to Jesus, the perfecter, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, running through this invisible cloud of witnesses, being cheered on by them, following in the steps of Jesus, who is the perfecter of faith. That becomes their common purpose, their definition of success. Now, by this point, some of you may be wondering if I know something you don't know. And the answer is no, I don't think so. No, I do not know of any underground large-scale argument that is taking place or about to take place. I do not know of any sort of passive neglect of anything. I just know that it's normal that all churches from time to time, like people, like relationships, all churches face issues. They face trials. And when that happens, sometimes they turn away from each other and never talk about their problems. Sometimes they turn in on each other and attack each other. But sometimes they come together as a team and they trust God. And they trust God and they set out to run the ministry race that is set before them. They set out to follow in the footsteps of the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame. They run with that great cloud of witnesses cheering them on in the footsteps of the pioneer and the perfecter of faith, who endured the cross for us and our salvation, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you, if you will, to join with me in a time of prayer. Our gracious Lord God, satisfy us with your love in the morning, and to know that we will live this day in joy and praise. Gracious God, our Creator, you who in your handiwork shaped and sustain your wonderful creation. Especially we thank you this morning for the ministry of all the baptized who bring the good news of your love to the world. We pray for those who provide public services, who clean and repair our streets and make our lights run and our water flow clean and safe. We pray for those with whom we work, shoulder to shoulder, across desks from one another, perhaps co-workers we have never met but only know through email or the phone. We praise you, Lord, today for opportunities to share the good news. Share the good news with others. Gracious God, today we also dare to pray for others, claiming your love in Jesus Christ for the whole world, committing ourselves to care for others in his name. Especially today we pray for the churches that are far from us. Today, especially, we remember the churches of Asia and the Middle East. We pray for those who seek to save our earth from destruction, whether it be the destruction of pollution that we have wrought or the destruction of nuclear wars that we may yet descend into. We pray for those who cannot work this week, those who are physically unable to work, those who are emotionally unable to work, those who are, for whatever reason, unemployable, and those who find their work far from gratifying, who find their work to be degrading, demeaning, and dangerous. Gracious God, today we remember the brothers and sisters of our own fellowship and those far away. And so we dare to pray, lifting up our voice for Gary and Pete and Pat. We ask your blessings on Gib, Arnold, Pauline, and Brian. We ask that Ruth and Jesse and Silas will know your peace We pray that Jane, Jerry, and Mary, Chastity, and Joan will feel your goodness in their bodies and in their minds. Lord, we pray for ourselves that we will not be so busy enumerating all our pains and all our losses, but that we will somehow avoid listening to you, to hearing the cheers of the saints. And so now, for just a moment, Lord, we open our hearts and open our minds to your word. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. As you cause the sun to rise, O God, bring the light of Christ to dawn in our souls and dispel the shadows of hatred and fear. Give us to reflect Christ's glory and let his love show in our deeds, his peace in our words, and his healing in our touch. As we live the life he taught us to live, when he taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sin, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Sisters and brothers, as God has been generous with us, let us respond by sharing generously ourselves. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings. Heavenly Father, who has given us all things richly to enjoy, graciously receive these our gifts, which we now lay before you, and bless us both in the use and the giving of your mercies. For Jesus' sake, Amen. remember stream, breeze? Man, today. Breeze, fellowship hall in a little while. Session meeting tomorrow night. Please pray for the leadership of our church. This Thursday, Chris, recital, concerts, right? Information is there in the bulletin. Chris is going to be part of an organ recital. Please be a part of that if you can. I mentioned the Jew and the Christian. The Jewish runner actually went on to marry and became sort of an elder spokesman for British athletics. The Christian went to China and joined his parents on the missionary field. He was killed there when the Japanese invaded China in the 1930s. Another of the great cloud of witnesses of whom the world was not worthy. I solemnly charge you, my friends, to go forth now to love and serve the Lord. And as you do so, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord God grant you God's own peace this day and evermore. And so let all God's people say, Alleluia, Amen.
We will be doing Shalom Shavarim in round again. We'll sing the first verse through, and then we will sing the first verse again and start the round. Shalom, Kaverim, Shalom, Kaverim.